We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, the one source for entrepreneurial stories on the internet. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I want to thank the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, our sponsors for today, and my co-host for this segment, Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Jeff. Great show. Great to be with you.
Thank you very much. Our next guest, thank you very much, is Lisa Tittlemore, partner Sustine Kahn Murphy and Timbers LLC. Whew.
Well, you know, that's what law firm names
I know.
Can be like, but
I
we
know.
Like to just call ourselves Sunstein.
Oh,
make it easy for people.
Good branding.
Very good. So they say that you're a seasoned litigator, a trademark copyright litigation. So tell us a little bit about your practice.
Sure. We are what they call an IP boutique, which is intellectual property boutique, meaning that we focus on all kinds of intellectual property law. I was recently at a birthday party with my daughter, and someone responded so enthusiastically. And I said, oh, what? Why so much enthusiasm? And she said, because I have no idea what that means. And so I said, well, you know, trademarks, copyrights, patents, basically we help people to protect their brands and ideas. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, but this actually goes back to the U.S. Constitution. Actually written into the Constitution in Article 1 is a requirement that Congress protect, promote science and the useful arts by allowing inventors and writers exclusive rights in their work for a limited period, and it required Congress actually to pass the intellectual property law. So it's sort of a foundational concept.
No, I never heard that before.
Interesting.
But what about, you know, I know it's changed over the last few years when somebody's working for a large corporation, let's say like a GE, and you're developing stuff. It's, you know, under those circumstances, it would probably be GE's product, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if it's something that the employee is doing for the employer in the course of their employment,
that's their compensation.
That's part of the job. And so in the Copyright Act, you know, and in some of the statutes it's written in, and in other ways, you know, a lot of the time it's through contract that the corporation owns the invention. And intellectual property has different relevance to different people. So in a large corporation, you know, they're going to have a whole program for protecting their intellectual property that's going to be part of their, you know, ongoing day-to-day business. For an entrepreneur in a startup, really the IP can be a lever, and they have to figure out where the right place is to put the lever to try to get into a market. So
interesting.
It can have different value for different kinds of companies.
All right.
Lisa, one of the things that's interesting about your background, obviously, you know, you have to have a strong understanding of intellectual property and trademark, but also you take it to the next step, not just prosecuting that to do the filings, you actually do the litigating, and you do all different types of sophisticated litigation relating to this, correct?
That's right. I do litigation both on the patent side and on the trademark side, also copyrights and trade secrets. Recently, I did a really interesting trade secret case that involved simulation software used by what they call war fighters in Saudi Arabia to do trainings.
Interesting.
And that was a really interesting argument to the judge to be able to point out that a preliminary injunction against my client shouldn't issue because there was a real public interest reason why that product should be allowed to ship. So it can get very interesting. And I do a lot of patent litigation and probably more patent and trademark litigation than anything else.
Right.
And on the trademark side, the issues, you know, can involve any kind of industry. So it really is a wide variety of practice.
Do you find that, especially when I look at what you do, you know, just not because I'm a former litigator, but my litigation was more general business litigation or franchise litigation. Your litigation, you have to really understand your material. Like you're talking about what you just had in terms of the public interest and the specific type of patent. And then we've talked about other different kind of specific cases that you really have to, you find you have to really get to know your client and the material, what they do and the particular patent or trademark.
Yes, and one of the really nice things about my practice is that because I both do the prosecution and the litigation, I'm already working with them on the prosecution and their strategies of why they want to protect their trademark and what their goals are as a business. So I have, you know, that relationship with them. So when they call me up and they say, you know, okay, here I am, a biotech company in Cambridge that's selling central nervous system disorder medicine or trying to get approval from the FDA to do that. And my CEO just found out that there's a medical marijuana dispensary down the road using the name, the same name, you know, then I have this background and I have a, you know, I can really delve into it and understand what the issues
are. And those things happen in reality.
Oh, yeah, that's a real case. That's a real case. And the, you know, we tried to work it out. I always try to see if we could work it out without filing a lawsuit if possible. And in that case, we ended up having to file a lawsuit in federal court. And, you know, basically the issue was that central nervous system disorders include Parkinson's, epilepsy, depression. Wow. These are all the same kind of things that people use medical marijuana to treat. And in fact, this company was promoting its quote-unquote medicine as for these same indications. And so it really was causing confusion. And in fact, people went to the wrong building, like went to the wrong place, went to the wrong facility.
Maybe they didn't.
And so it is very interesting. And, you know, one of the things I wonder is that in the medical marijuana industry, although it's legal at the state level, it's illegal at the federal level.
Right.
And as a trademark lawyer, you know, I understand that while, of course, you want to check to see if you can use your trademark to make sure you're not infringing someone else's rights before you start using it, often people don't do that until the time when they decide they want to file their own trademark application with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And at that point, they'll go to a lawyer and the lawyer will say, well, let's do a search first before we file that application.
Right.
And in the marijuana industry, they are not allowed to get trademark registrations for marijuana products. They can for ancillary products, as long as it's not clearly associated with marijuana.
So if I was creating a brand for my product, so, you know, I couldn't register that brand?
If it's not a legal product at the federal level.
Wow, that's interesting.
What about state filings?
Yes, you could get it protected.
So that's what I mean. So I could do
legal.
It, but it wouldn't be, it would only be for the state
protected
I'm in.
With the state.
It would only be for the state you're in. And now there are many states, actually, that allow you to, you know, that where marijuana is legal either for medical or for recreational purposes even. But that's much more time intensive to go state to state to file applications. And in some states,
right.
You can only file an application once you've started using the trademark in commerce. Whereas at the federal level, you can file what's called an intent to use application, and you can actually get your place in line before you've even used the mark, which is advantageous, because with trademarks, it's all about who was first.
Right, right.
Who used it first.
Right. So if I, and I'm not, it was in the marijuana branding business here locally, I'd have to go state to state to register it?
For those particular products. I mean, if you're trying to register your brand in connection with, you know, pipes, as long as it's not indicated in the application that they're pipes for marijuana, you would be able to register your
That's
brand
tricky.
For pipes. Oh, yeah.
I need someone smart like you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the only states you could register it are the states that it's legal, correct?
Like,
right, for example,
but there are quite a few now where it's
right, okay.
legal. It's interesting how many are following along. And even with the most recent midterm elections, a number of states just passed laws that made it legal.
So, Lisa, you know, in the short time we have left, how did you get into this area of the law? What was your path?
Intellectual property law?
Yeah.
Well, it was litigation. I started as a litigator at a big Boston law firm that you know, in just the general business litigation practice. And at that time, in the early 90s, it was starting to become more of an attractive practice area. And it's just so interesting. It's always changing. It's very complicated. The problems are hard to solve, which makes it fun when you win. And I just could tell, even as a young lawyer, this seemed like a really good practice area. You know, I was very idealistic. I thought at first I would do criminal defense law, but that's a tough gig for your, you know, daily bread.
Right.
And I still do quite a lot of pro bono work, working for clients that are doing social good. And so I get that satisfaction as well.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because you had worked at obviously one of the biggest firms in Boston, and then going from one of the biggest firms that actually has a patent trademark department to going to a specialty group. Have you found that to be advantageous in terms of your career?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for one thing, back when I moved, that firm didn't have that same practice. I think that that's changed over time.
Right.
But by going to a specialty practice, I really dove into the topic immediately, and that's all I did. And so it really allowed me to become quite expert in the areas that I'm interested in. I mean, even in intellectual property, you know, your clients are expecting you to really be expert in their industry.
Right.
And so there have been a few that I've really picked up as particularly interesting to me, for example, pharmaceuticals.
Excellent. Good.
Lisa, if somebody wants to find you at Sunstein, how would they do that?
Well, we have a website at sunsteinlaw.com, and they can always find me there. It's quite easy to do it that way. Or they can call our receptionist and ask for me.
And what's your phone number, please?
617-443-9292.
Mark always asks for phone numbers. You can tell he's not a millennial. He's a baby boomer. Thanks for being on the show today. We hope you come back again with maybe some good stories in 2019.
Great. I'd love to.
We love the cases. Thanks a lot. Remind everybody, my name is Jeffrey Davis. This is the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. And that was Mark Z with all those probing questions. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.